Okay.
Stay there.
Welcome to another special edition relating to the times that we're in right now as Klal Yisrael and the world. And I have the privilege and pleasure of speaking with my good friend, Joey Rosenfeld, who is actually in Eretz Yisrael, makes it even more significant and meaningful. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the concept of Gzar Din, and the concept of Hamtakas Hadinim. So there's an idea that we learn from the Svarim that sometimes there are decrees, harsh decrees that come from Shemayim, from the master of the world. And there's a significance, there's a concept called Hamtakas Hadinim, sweetening of these decrees, sweetening of the judgments, which is the role that we as Klal Yisrael have in relating to these gzeiras that come out, these decrees. And if Joey's hoping you could kind of share some perspective on what those concepts mean and how that really relates to the very real, not theoretical, but very real experience of life that we're all literally facing right now.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. Thanks, Yak. It's great to see you. So Bekitzer, we'll go straight because we'll cross over the Kabbalah of it, which is its own sugya, and we'll focus on the Aliba de Hilchasa, as they say, according to the heart of the matter, which is the Chasidus of it. And so the notion of Hamtakas Hadinim, just from more of a theoretical position, is the fact that the way that HaKadosh Baruch created the world, and really the way that the infinite can begin to express itself within any sense of something being finite, it's by way of constriction, limitation, symptom. Because in order to reveal something that is everywhere, you have to almost minimize it in order to make it something. Yeah, so that's the symptom. And so this first act of creation is ultimately one of restriction, one of concealment. Now, those things operate in their pristine order, where they're operating in a world that is purely good, idealized, and rooted in the infinite. But as concealment slowly but surely goes through the stages of expression, which is a degradation from its original source down to its application, then it begins to congeal. And that congealment, and I use the word congeal very specifically because congealment is the process in which something continues to take on a new shape. It's not a shifting from one thing to another. It's still the same act of concealment as it was in Tzimtzum, but as that kind of goes through the lower degraded levels, there's a certain element of pollution and viscosity and thickness that continues to develop over something to the degree that it manifests in what we refer to as gvuros or dinim. That din, severity, is ultimately a byproduct or a symptom of constriction and concealment. Because without constriction and concealment, there would be no possibility of suffering. Suffering, pain, bloodshed, all of the things that we identify with gevura and severity in this worldliness is all the finalized expression of a profoundly powerful expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the power of concealment, which is ultimately concealment. As it expresses itself, it begins to look more and more real and harsh. And that's where dinim come from. Dinim are emergence from a place within the infinite. Hamtakas Hadinim B'Shayrashim, sweetening Dinim in their Shayrash, means coming to identify and thereby elevate the byproduct of the original concealment, which is all of the painful symptoms of suffering that we encounter in this world in all of its varieties, in all of its various, you know, qualifications and quantifications, this one obviously being something that is absolutely singular in the sense of the number and the sense that it's in Eretz Yisrael. But when a person takes hold of this lowest expression and realizes where it's truly coming from, the fact that all of the severity and the symptoms are ultimately part and parcel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expression in this world. That's Hamtakas Hadinim B'Shayrashim. The recognition that all of the dinim and all the gevuros, as severe as they are, as ugly as they are ultimately rooted in a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing himself. Now, the why or the what of all of this is the avodah of the tzaddikim. And as we see from the true tzaddikim, and it's already been expressed by the true tzaddikim over and over in previous generations, that in a moment like this, a true chacham is toifes apelach of shtika. They grab hold of silence and they work with silence. You know, there are tzaddikim who are doing and there are tzaddikim who are talking. And doing is the ikra here. That's the B'poyel Hamtakas Hadinim B'Shayrashim, where the tzaddikim can actually take this worldliness and bring it back up. But for us, our job, to a certain degree for myself, my job is to look at what one sees, meaning the concept of it. Again, I think it's important to also hyper-focus on not looking and really beginning to close the eyes and see with a different set of vision. There's almost, we're being forced to do that right now. We're being told not to look at the reality of the situation, and we have to reorient ourselves to a new way of looking. Ah, that's ignoring and an ignorance of reality. It's not. It's just the focusing on the fact that I will have control over the narrative in my mind. But the narrative is that this too is somehow rooted in a place of infinitude. This too is not absent from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ah, achin ata kel mestater, you're an absolutely concealed God. We know this already. You know, history has shown that to us numerous times.
So would you say it's an accurate kind of, you know, to put it into maybe a little bit, maybe oversimplified, but maybe there's a point to this. Would you say that this is an accurate statement of kind of an oversimplification of this, but in a practical way, which is that if the person has deep emuna and deep belief and faith that something of this, really anything, the smallest things really, but especially something of this magnitude, there's something min hashamayim. There's something that's being controlled here, but by God, and Hashem is dictating this and orchestrating this. And so that would almost, in a sense, lead a person to feel that there isn't even like what's tefillah for, what's davening, what's prayer for. Like this is Hashem is doing this. What am I going to change by davening or by saying tehillim or by doing chesed or by any of these things? What place is there for that hishtadlos if I have the emuna perspective that this is something that's clearly cosmic, clearly beyond human intervention? And so the way that would be miyashev almost that there's both of these things at the same time, I would, the resolution possibly, if there is any possible resolution, is that on some level, the broader experience of what's happening now, that's a gzeira, that's din, that's what is being dictated by min hashamayim. But within the context of what needs to be happening, our tfilos, our act of learning, of tshuva, of chesed, of all the things we're doing, can sweeten everything within that as much as possible, so that all the suffering that exists can be lessened, it can be sweetened, and all the details and the particulars can be a little bit less. We can't change the gzar din in its essence, but we can impact the way that it becomes manifest in all its details. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And these are delicate concepts and really important concepts. The Ramchal really has done everything that we could possibly need in terms of this conversation, in terms of what the Gzar Din is and what role our Bechira plays in it. But something that I want to kind of highlight that I'm understanding intuitively from what you're saying, and I think is an important piece to take out as well, is that when we speak of the Gzar Din, that which happened to the people that it happened to, the Harugim and the Avudim, nothing, I can only speak for myself, no word that I will ever utter from here on out, but from after this event and onwards, is going to be with regards to what's going on with those people, with the Harugim, or trying to give any element of reasoning or application of meaning to that experience. It's Mesiras Nefesh needs no meaning. I just came from a Shiva call from a Chayal who, and I said to the, I said very simply to the parents that there's quite literally nothing more significant in the entirety of existence than what your child did. And I would say the neshama should have an aliyah, but there's no place for it to go. It's rooted in the crown of the king. And the mother said, I know, and I'm waiting also. And so it's the conversation is never about them. The conversation is not about family members either, who are included within the individual themselves. The question ultimately is, how are we as a people mitmodeid? How do we reflect? How do we engage? How do we interact with this vicious, cruel, real reality that is bare right in front of us? And I think that you're absolutely correct that the work of Hamtakas Adinim is the space given, which is the pause for our reaction. And what we're seeing with Klal Yisrael is that the reaction is Mashiach. The reaction is there's a, in the heart of all of the pain and suffering, there's a messianic kind of, not messianic, a Mashiach feeling here. And it's not whether Mashiach will come. Mashiach will come when Mashiach comes, but what Klal Yisrael is doing right now is Mashiach. Meaning it's not that the chassadim, I mean, it's everybody's operating in a singular pulsation in different levels of acts of kindness and self giving room for the other. Nobody's thinking about themselves right now. Nobody. Nobody. It's a crazy thing, other than me. But, you know, my point is, in that long kind of meandering point, which is more of a tefillah, is that our job after Gzar Din is to be mamtik the din, is how we relate to the din, how we relate to it and how we choose to look at it. Because, look, we're not going to make this any less bad than it was. And who knows? Mi yodea, Kadosh Baruch Hu is saving the Jews privately all the time. So mi yodea, what was meant to be, if this is what was. So in terms of alleviating the actuality of what has happened, I think that's a life's work of learning to come to terms with trauma. But in terms of the activism and the spiritual activism of right now, it's... we believe very deeply that our reaction to events molds the very fabric of the event. And so our job is not just how do I deal with an unbearable trauma by way of imagination. It's how do I allow my imagination and my emunah mebitachon, which are the refinements of imagination, how do I allow those to mold this reality, this golem, this physical mound of clay that is real in all of its reality and its measure, but how do I form it? How do I bring the chachma into it? How do I allow myself to look upwards and realize that Ribbono Shel Olam, Devarim Gedolim Einem B'Mikra, big things are not by chance, and a big thing is yours. So my job is not to understand. My job is not to fix necessarily. My job is to do whatever I can do as an individual in this moment. And the chiddush is that it used to be that when something happens in Eretz Yisrael, so America responds, or Chutz La'aretz responds. Now it seems different, and again, this is all my humble reflection, but Eretz Yisrael is just being mispashed further and further. Everybody is in Eretz Yisrael now. The Yidden are focused, heart, mind, soul, body, money, cash, all of it, given to Eretz Yisrael. And that's the Hamtaka. The Hamtaka is for the Achdus, and to see, I mean, nobody like the Jews can reflect on an act of such utter destruction and build off of it. And it's Hashem and his rachamim should continue to be mamtik all of the dinim. The tzaddikim amitim should continue to be mamtik all the dinim. The neshamos should continue to be mamtik all the dinim. And we should continue to be mamtik all the dinim, which is to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I daven about a moment, and I try and elevate that feeling into a place of emunah. And emunah is not negating the negative feeling. Emunah is not being terrified and scared and traumatized and angry and resentful and all of those things. It's bringing all of those things into the space of emunah to come to terms with the fact that I can be in these moods, but I have to realize that these moods exist within an even larger mood setting, which is emunah. And with the deep belief that there is no mood that is so intense that falls outside of the realm of emunah. And when we develop the elasticity of emunah is going to be revealed in each and every person's mind now. Because prior to Shmini Atzeres, I could only speak for myself. My emunah didn't include such a thing within it. And now I'm struggling to expand the boundaries and the horizons of my emunah, where this thing, which obviously I know in the end of the day will kind of be subsumed by the emunah, because that's the nature of emunah, but we're all in the process of emunah as a verb right now. I'm only reflecting on myself, but it's the battlefield of, there are moments where I feel that the battlefield for Yishuv Hadas or emunah in a moment is as significant as the battlefield, you know, on the front lines. One must consider it so, because, you know, it's like Rav Aaron Belzer, when he was running away from the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, he brought his chair and he would sit on it and like, Rebbe, like, you, the Nazis are chasing us. It's like, just because Sakonas Nefashos doesn't give us permission to let go of Yishuv Hadas. As we say in Hoshana, Seshana Nefesh Bahalo Hoshana, protect me from having a Behilas Hadas. So who said that reality, external reality, has the right to determine the kernel of the Kodesh HaKadashim in my mind? It's a different Metzias. And so I think that's the avodah now. Menucha, simcha, ahava, hisnavdus, tzedakah, tefillah, tzaaka, to storm the gates of Shemayim, mamish, and to demand Mashiach tzedkenu, and to have mature faith with what Mashiach is, and mature faith with what redemption looks like, and the acceptance of the fact that, you know, it's a derech arucha shikatzera. These are long roads that lead us to a realization that it was a very quick process. But we should be zoicha that things should speed up. Ita achishana. And that there should be no more pain bechlal for a single yid at all, anywhere, in the entirety of the world.
I know that we both have to run, but if you have just 1 minute more, just a quick word. I know everything that you're saying is drawn from the light of the tzaddik of from Vichemeyer. But I'm curious if there's anything in particular that you can share from what his teachings are, what his state of mind is, who can know the state of mind,
All I can say is what I've heard. I haven't been zochet to speak to the Rebbe, but the Rebbe is davening all day by Hashana Rabbis. There were bechios in between the Hashanos that caused people to pause. Shmini Atzeres even at night was quick for the Rebbe, but this is, holy people have that. That's not the proof of the Rebbe being the Rebbe, that he knew something. A lot of people can know things, but I called the Gabbai, and when I spoke to the Gabbai, he said the Rebbe's not speaking, he's doing, he's davening, there's shofros, the Rebbe's in shul all night. On a practical Eitzel level, he said that a person should be marbe b'tehillim, and that a person should learn Zohar. And that even if you're reading the words of Zohar itself, that's good enough, but it's better to understand it. I decided beforehand, but I'm giving a daily shiur on Zohar also. And the Rebbe said that the Zohar Kaddish will point out to the individual what they need to work on. But the Rebbe is saying emuna chizuk in dveikos, and to daven that not another yid is hurt. Yeah. Not to force Hashem's hand in terms of what happens on a geopolitical level. Right, that's already matters that belong to Hashem. But what we can demand absolutely is that there's no svara that would say that any other yid should ever get hurt. So that we can know with absolute certainty. Mm-hmm. So those are the. But I think and the Rebbe is sleeping. That's what the tzaddikim do in their avodah. He takes naps. To be mamtik all dinim.
Joey, thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I hope this was coherent on any level, Yaak.
Very much so. Thank you.
Okay, love you, brother. I'll talk
Me
to you
too.
Later.
Thanks. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this, please follow us on WhatsApp, YouTube, or Instagram. All our podcast series can be found wherever you listen to podcasts. I'd love to hear from you, so please reach out with questions, comments, or suggestions, or to be added to our WhatsApp groups. You can reach us through email using yaakov.attached@gmail.com or on WhatsApp at 773-888-2413.